If you are serious about decentralized finance, you know that the easy days are, well, they're long gone. You can't just throw tokens into a basic AMM and walk away anymore.
Not at all.
To really optimize your returns as a liquidity provider and LP, you have to move beyond just one platform, even beyond a single blockchain. It's a multi-tool, multi-chain game now.
It really is.
So today we are attempting a true shortcut for you into that expertise. This deep dive is all about cross-protocol analysis and multi-protocol strategy design. We've gone through a huge stack of material comparing five of the biggest DEX protocols: Uniswap V3, Aerodrome, Radium, Orca, and Meteora. And our goal is simple, but it's ambitious. We want you to walk away from this with a solid, actionable framework for deciding where to put your capital. Whether it's for high liquidity, max emissions, or low fees, you'll have the knowledge to diversify intelligently.
That's the mission. And, this diversification is absolutely essential. Mastering multiple protocols lets you optimize returns across totally different ecosystems. You've got Ethereum and its L2s, the fast-growing Base ecosystem Solana, and you can adapt when the market shifts.
So we're moving past the whole what's the best DX debate.
Exactly. We're asking, what is the right tool for this specific pool, for this specific risk on this specific chain?
Okay, let's unpack this right now, starting with that comparison matrix. We have Uniswap, the three from Solana, and Aerodrome on Base. When you look at those categories, chain, complexity, best for it, what's the fundamental thing that stands out? What drives the strategy?
It really just boils down to a three-way trade-off.
Okay.
You're constantly balancing liquidity, cost, and complexity.
Right.
And while you have to start with Uniswap V3, it's still the dominant force on Ethereum and its L2s like Arbitrum and Optimism.
No question.
Its big advantage is just sheer liquidity and the granular control it gives you over your concentrated ranges. But that's also its paradox. While it's super capital efficient, managing those ranges, especially on Ethereum L1, means you're facing some really high gas costs.
And that unavoidable gas burden is exactly what's pushing people to other chains. So
Right.
if V3 is the gold standard for control, what kind of efficiencies do we find when we jump to Solana, which is, famous for having almost no gas fees?
Solana is fascinating because that low-cost environment allowed for three really distinct approaches to flourish, and they're all segmented by complexity.
Okay, so let's start at the simple end.
At the entry level, you've got Orca. This is your beginner-friendly choice. It uses concentrated liquidity. They call their pools whirlpools. But it's all packaged in a really simple, intuitive UI. It's about accessibility, not extreme optimization.
The perfect starting point on Solana, then. So, if Orca is the low complexity entry point, let's go to the other end of the spectrum, Meteora. The sources flag this as very high complexity. Why? What are these advanced LPs doing there?
Meteora is basically a lab for advanced LP mechanics. The complexity comes from two main features. First, it uses dynamic fees that change with volatility, so LPs get paid more when things are crazy.
That makes sense.
And second, and this is the real mind bender, it uses discrete price bins.
Okay, you have to explain the bins, because if Uniswap V3 is this, continuous line of liquidity across a price range,
Right.
what's discrete about these?
So think of it this way. Instead of a smooth curve, Meteora stacks liquidity at specific defined price points, the bins. If a trade happens entirely inside the active bin, the slippage is virtually zero.
Wow.
It's incredibly efficient for trades right at the market price. LPs also have to deal with these advanced liquidity shapes, like a curve shape for correlated assets or a bid-ask shape. It gets complex.
So it's not just passive farming, it's almost like active trading.
That's a great way to put it. It requires constant management. That's why it's strictly for advanced users who want that level of precision.
So Meteora is where the hedge funds play. Let's step back a bit to the intermediate player on Solana, which is Radium. They're all about high volume. What's the deal with their hybrid architecture? We need to unpack that.
Radium's hybrid model is it's brilliant. Most DEXs are pure AMMs. Radium takes its AMM liquidity and projects it onto a traditional central limit order book, a CLO.
Okay, so what does that mean for the LP? What's the advantage?
It's twofold. First, traders get as better price discovery because they're seeing the AMM pool and active limit orders. Second, and this is key for you as the LP, you capture fees not just from AMM swaps, but also from the volume when those limit orders get filled.
That's a huge insight. So Radium LPs are earning from two market structures at the same time.
Exactly. It's built to capture the maximum amount of trading activity.
Okay, let's round this out with Aerodrome, which is dedicated to the Base ecosystem. Given everything happening on Solana and Ethereum, what makes Aerodrome an essential piece of this puzzle?
Aerodrome is essential because it executes the V-token model so well, which makes it a high emissions yield environment. Its complexity is, I'd say, medium. It uses a custom stable AMM for stablecoins, but its real strategic value is the yield you get from that V model.
And this is where it gets really interesting, because this V token mechanic basically defines the entire yield landscape on Base. For anyone listening, you have to understand this system to know where capital is flowing. So let's walk through the flywheel.
It all starts with alignment. You lock your native Aero token, say, for 4 years, and you get back Vero, which is an NFT. That's the vote escrowed part.
And that NFT gives you power.
Your voting power. You use it weekly to direct the protocol's emissions, basically deciding where the new Aero rewards go. And naturally, you're going to vote for the pools you're already in.
Right, which creates the incentive structure. And this is where the other protocols come in with the bribes.
Exactly. If a partner protocol wants deep liquidity, they can either pay LPs a high yield directly, which is expensive, or they can bribe the V-Aero holders to vote emissions toward their pool. But the latter is usually cheaper.
So the LPs in those pools get trading fees, AR emissions, and the bribe payment.
And that's what generates those supercharged yields that everyone talks about.
Now, if you are an LP on Aerodrome, what is the one single step you cannot miss to get those AR rewards? Because just providing liquidity isn't enough, right?
It is not. This is so critical. You must take your LP tokens and stake them in the pools gauge. If you skip that, you only get the basic trading fees. You miss out on all the ARO emissions and the bribes.
So providing liquidity is step one. Staking in the gauge is the mandatory step two.
Mandatory. Don't forget it.
And for anyone managing capital here, you mentioned an amazing tool for monitoring this, the bribe efficiency analysis. What does that formula tell you about the health of the whole system?
It's the ultimate reality check for that emissions yield. The formula is simply emissions generated divided by bribes paid. It tells you how much yield the bribe created for its cost.
So what's a good number? What am I looking for?
If the ratio is greater than one, it means the protocols paying the bribe are getting a good return. They're efficiently buying liquidity. This suggests the high yield is probably sustainable.
But if it dips below one,
if it starts dipping below one, say, to 0.8 or 0.7, that's your warning sign. It means bribing is becoming unprofitable for those protocols. And if they pull their bribes, those high APYs can collapse instantly. You have to monitor this weekly.
That is the essential data point for your dashboard. Okay, let's connect this back to Iridium, because their whole approach to efficiency is about volume, not emissions. They have to nail the fee capture, which brings us to setting ranges in their CLMM.
Exactly right. With Iridium, your job as an LP is to position your capital perfectly to capture fees without getting crushed by impermanent loss. And that comes down to picking the right tick spacing.
So give us the guidance from the sources. What are the trade-offs for a tight range versus a wide one?
It's strict, and it totally depends on the pair's volatility. For a super tight stablecoin pair like USDC-USDT, you want the tightest range possible, one tick, or 0.01% spacing. It maximizes capital efficiency.
But for something volatile?
For a volatile pair like SOLUSDC, the range has to be much wider. The guidance is 64 to 128 ticks. The trade-off is clear. A wider range means less capital efficiency, but you don't have to rebalance as much, and it lowers your risk of, you know, catastrophic IL if the price swings wildly.
So you're trading efficiency for less active management.
Precisely. If your range is too narrow on a volatile pair, you'll constantly be adjusting it, and you could wipe out all your yield and gas fees.
That insight is crucial. So let's connect all of this to the bigger picture. Why should an LP even bother managing positions across all these different protocols and chains? Why not just stick with one?
It's about systemic risk and opportunity cost. Multi-chain diversification is your main risk management tool in DeFi. If one chain has an outage or a security issue, your capital in the others is fine.
It's defense.
It's defense, but it's also offense. It lets you capture unique opportunities simultaneously. Max liquidity on an L2, max emissions on Base, and max speed with low fees on Solana.
Which brings us to strategy one, pair optimization. You have to match the right asset to the right protocol.
Absolutely. If you're dealing with stablecoins, they thrive in low slippage environments like Aerodrome SAM on Base or Orca on Solana.
Makes sense.
For correlated pairs like MSolSol, where prices move together but not perfectly, Uniswap V3 is great for range management. Or if you're advanced, the Meteora curve shape is highly efficient.
And then the big volatile pairs.
For volatile pairs like ETHUSDC, you need deep liquidity. That means Uniswap V3 on the big L2s or Radium on Solana, because its hybrid model will capture the most volume during those price swings.
Okay, let's make this concrete with strategy two, the portfolio allocation framework. using that $50,000 example from the sources, what did a balanced strategy actually look like?
The framework models a balanced approach. The sources suggested a distribution of about 40% to Ethereum L2s, 30% to Base, and 30% to Solana. That immediately spreads out your single chain risk.
And the actual allocation.
Right. So the $50,000 portfolio put 20 grand into Uniswap V3 on Arbitrum, 15 grand into Aerodrome on Base in a Wolva DC pool, staked in the gauge, of course, and 15 grand into Radium on Solana.
So it was designed to test emissions against pure fee volume.
Exactly.
And what was the bottom line? Did high liquidity on Arbitrum win, or did the high emissions on Base pull ahead?
The results were really clear. The total portfolio did great, yielding about 14.4% APY, which shows the power of diversifying.
Mm-hmm.
But the single highest return came from that $15,000 Aerodrome position. Yeah, it generated the highest monthly net return, $310, which is a 2.07% monthly return. And that was almost all driven by the AEuro emissions and bribes.
That is fascinating. It just reinforces that while Uniswap is the backbone, the real alpha is often in chasing those protocol incentives.
But only if you know how to stake correctly and monitor that bribe efficiency to make sure it's sustainable.
Right. It's the difference between being a passive provider and an active capital allocator.
That's it. The data shows you have to capture those high emissions opportunities when the efficiency ratio is high.
Okay, we've covered a huge spectrum of complexity here, from Orca, which is low, to Meteora, which is very high. For someone listening who's ready to jump into this, what's the clear path for? Where do they start?
Well, first, you need to avoid jumping into the deep end. Meteora and things like cross-chain arbitrage strategies are just too complex for newcomers. The risk of losing money on gas is too high.
So start simple.
Stick to these starting points. If you're already on Ethereum, or its L2s, start with Uniswap V2, then gradually move to V3. Learn range management with stablecoins first.
And for Base.
If your focus is Base, start with Aerodrome, but only use the same M stablecoin pools. This lets you learn the VToken mechanics and the staking process without the huge volatility risk of an ETH pair.
And Solana.
If you're starting on Solana, begin with Orca. The user experience is just the easiest. You can get comfortable with the speed and low cost before you graduate to the more sophisticated strategies on Radium.
Excellent, actionable guidance. Let's bring this deep dive home with the key takeaways.
Okay.
We've established no single protocol is the best. You have to match the tool to the task. Emissions on Base, volume on Solana, pure liquidity on Arbitrum. And we can't stress enough how important it is to monitor metrics like Aerodrome's bribe efficiency.
And remember, the core reason to diversify, it's not just chasing yield, it's reducing systemic risk. That $50,000 example showed that the highest return can often come from those targeted, staked, high-emissions pools.
But the journey doesn't end there, does it? The source material points to the next critical step that separates the pros from everyone else: fee optimization and gas economics.
Right.
Success isn't just about finding yield. It's about knowing when the gas cost of managing your positions wipes out all those returns.
Absolutely.
And this raises the final provocative thought we want to leave you with. When you're managing a multi-protocol portfolio, the essential calculation is this: how much fee generation do you need to justify the gas cost of managing a position? If you're on L1 or constantly reticking your range on Radium, that calculation determines your true profit. Keep that question front and center as you build your strategy. That's all the time we have for this deep dive.